All right, well, let's grab our Bibles. We're going to continue in our study this morning. If you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, we're going to go back to the book of Colossians. Colossians. It's not an accident that we had the baby dedications this morning because the verse that we're going to be looking at has to do with children. And this morning, if you have children or grandchildren, or if you hope someday to have children, then this study this morning is going to be very apropos to where you're at in your life. We've come to know that Colossians is a book in your Bible. It's actually a letter. It's a letter from Christian leaders to Christian people. It's dated back to the first century. And the Christian leader that wrote this particular letter was named Paul. And Paul was a leader in the first century Christian movement. And the theme of this letter is very simple. What you believe impacts how you behave. What you believe to be true gives direction to how you and I live our lives. And so Paul spends the first couple of chapters of this letter talking about all that God has done for us. That he is a great God, he is a generous God, he is a sovereign God, and he has done so much for us that we should understand what he's done so that we know how to live. And then in chapter 3, the dividing line of the book, he switches from what we should know to be true to how we should live it out in our life. And so we looked in chapter 3 over a long period of time, and we saw that there are three basic steps to change, to real change from the inside out. From being what I am or used to be to becoming what God wants me to be, I need to change. I need to change in some of the ways that I think. I need to change in some attitudes. I need to change in some habits or in some actions. And in chapter 3, Paul has given to us, through this letter, the three steps to deep and significant changes in our life. And then in the middle of chapter 3, he tells us that the first place this new heart that I have needs to be impacting is my home. That the first place this new heart touches is the home. The new heart starts at home. And Paul has been giving to us a series of roles in the ancient home. The role of the wife, the role of the husband, the role of the child, father, slave, and masters. That was the six roles that people played in the ancient home. And we discovered that these six roles are actually three sets of relationships. The wife and the husband relationship, the child and the parent relationship, and the slave and the master relationship. And we spent the time going through the first set of the wife and the husband relationship, and now we're moving to the second tier of the child and the parent relationship. So we're in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, and Paul, the writer of this letter, very clearly and simply states in chapter 3 and verse 20, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing to the Lord." One of the places that this changed heart of ours needs to impact is a child's relationship with his parents or her parents. That there's something special about that parent-child relationship. And from the child's perspective, Paul writes very simply, without much explanation, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things." And the moms and dads in the room said, "Amen, amen." Well, we ask ourselves the question, why is this so important? Why would God, through Paul, tell his audience, tell the children in the room, to be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord? What does this have to do with the new heart? You know, Paul doesn't give much explanation. This is all that he says to children. He doesn't explain why. He doesn't explain how. He doesn't explain the ramifications. Because in Colossians, in this particular letter, Paul just wants us to understand by the way of principle where the new heart that God gives to us needs to first impact. And so just as he did with the wives and the husbands previous to this, he doesn't give a lot of fluff. He doesn't give a lot of depth to it. He just makes a simple statement. "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." He doesn't talk about the exceptions to the rules. He doesn't talk about all the ramifications of the do's and the don'ts of how to do this. It's just a simple statement. So this morning, I want us to venture not only in these words, but to go outside of these words where the same author, Paul, writes about the same topic, but expands it a little bit more. So if you have your finger in Colossians chapter 3, let's go backwards just a couple of books to the book of Ephesians and chapter 6. Because Paul, when he writes to a letter to another group of people in another city called Ephesus, he gives them the same basic premise that the new heart starts at home, but he expands this teaching about children to give it more depth. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Now, I want to point out just a couple of things about this before we move on. You'll notice that some of the verse is in capital letters. Honor your father and mother so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. When you find in your Bible that there are verses that are all capitals, it means what? It means it's quoted from somewhere else in your Bible. And so we know that the Apostle Paul here in Ephesians is actually taking this verse, this principle, and pulling it from somewhere else in your Bible and pulling it into his letter. So we need to find out where that is to help us understand. You'll also notice that he says in this verse, if you honor your father and mother, it's the first commandment with a promise. We'll talk about that. And here's the two results. Number one, so it may be what? Well with you. God says, kids, if you obey your mom and dad, life is going to go better for you. That it may be well with you. And the second part is, that you may live long on the earth. So children who follow this instruction not only have a better life, but they have a longer life. And it's the first commandment, first of the Ten Commandments, that is accompanied by a promise. You know, in the Old Testament, God gave us the Ten Commandments. And the first four commandments have to do with our relationship with God. The last six commandments have to do with our relationship with each other. And the first one on the list about our relationships with each other is, children, honor your father and your mother. So it's pretty vital. It's pretty important to God. So the question that we have this morning is, who benefits from obedient children? And we're going to find this morning that four people or four groups of people benefit from obedient children. Now, in your notes this morning, you'll notice you just have a blank sheet. That's because when I was in Ethiopia, there was an uprising. Have you heard about that? There was an uprising about 100 miles from where we were. And in order for that uprising not to become a global story, the government of Ethiopia just switched off the internet. And they switched off Facebook. Well, I learned when I was in Ethiopia, I am way too dependent upon the internet. And so I couldn't communicate my outline back home, and I couldn't finish my studying while I was there. So you have a blank outline this morning, and you're just going to have to fill these words in and these sentences in. But who benefits from obedient children? Number one, the Lord benefits. Back in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, it simply says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." And that's why Paul worded it this way, because Paul wants to emphasize that God has done so much for us. He's changed our hearts. He's changed our lives. And when children apply this new heart to their relationship with their parents, it really pleases God. And you'll notice the phrase there. It's not just pleasing to the Lord, but it's what? Well-pleasing. It's like extra-pleasing to God. There are some things that just really make God happy. And then there are other things that really, really help him to be pleased. And Paul uses this phrase, it's not just pleasing to the Lord, it's well-pleasing to the Lord. And in this verse, you find, in these verses, you find two different ideas. Obey, which is the actions that a child does for their parents. And honor is the attitude behind the actions. So if we combine Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20 and Ephesians chapter 6, we find that these two words are the key words. Children, in your actions, obey, and in your attitudes, honor your mom and your dad. This is very well-pleasing to the Lord. I got asked by my kids, when do we get to stop obeying mom and dad? When do we not have to obey what they do anymore? And the answer is very simple, when you stop being the child. And child simply means dependent. So when a child grows up and gets their own job and gets their own place and doesn't need mom and dad for the basics of life, doesn't need their money, doesn't need their rides to school, doesn't need their food, doesn't need their shelter anymore, when you move out of your parents' house and you become dependent so that they no longer have to pay for your college tuition, or they don't have to pay for your room and board, they don't have to pay for your food and clothing and shelter, then you are free from obeying them because you're no longer a child in their home. But as long as you are dependent upon mom and dad for the basic things of life, then this verse applies to you. We're so happy that about 8 months ago, our youngest left the house and became completely independent. And he no longer depends upon us for food, clothing, or shelter, or college tuition, or any of those things. And now he is free to not have to obey mom and dad anymore. He honors us with his attitudes, but he doesn't have to obey us. And we applaud him for that. And then Ruthie and I go home and we go, yes, we no longer have to supply any of his daily needs. So it's a benefit to both. But so kids, you say, well, when do I get to stop obeying my mom? When can I do what I want and not have to do everything my dad says? It's very simple. Just don't be dependent upon him for anything. Become an adult. As long as they're helping you in life by providing food, clothing, and shelter, college tuition, car payments, then the Bible would say in some aspect you're still a child to them and you have to do what they say. So if you're living in their home, and whether you're 17 or 27 or 37, then they have the rules, they have the right to make rules for you to follow. And you should obey them. Why? Because it's well-pleasing to the Lord. Well-pleasing to the Lord. So the Lord benefits. Second of all, the parents benefit. I'm going to go way back just for a minute to the Old Testament. You can follow with me, Juan, or you can just write down these references. I'm going to go to the book of Proverbs, because Proverbs has a lot to say about the parent-child, child-parent relationship. And so I'm going to zip through some of these passages. I'm in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1. A wise man makes his father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Chapter 15 and verse 20 says, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. In chapter 19 and verse 26, it says, he who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son. Chapter 20, verse 20. He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. So you better be careful. If you shake your fist in your parents' face, God says in the time that you really need something, the lamp of your life is going to be out. And you're going to struggle in darkness. Because God doesn't appreciate kids who shake their fist in mom and dad's face. Chapter 23, verse 22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. If you want to do your kids a favor, write that verse on a placard and tape it to their bedroom door. Listen to your father, and don't despise your mother. Then in verse 25, let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Obedient children are such a blessing to their parents. You know, it's interesting, a little bit earlier in Colossians, we talked about the relationship between the husband and wife, and we saw that in the marital relationship, the husband and wife have different roles. They have different areas of responsibility, they have different roles to play, and within the context of the marital relationship, we see a lot of differences. But here, when it comes to the role of parent, both mom and dad are united, because in both of these passages, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, and in Ephesians chapter 6 verses 1 to 3, we are told, children are told to obey both mom and dad equally. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you should give more preference to the mother or to the father. So even though a husband and wife have differing roles within the marital relationship, when it comes to the parenting relationship, they're both united. And they get equal honor. And they get equal obedience and respect. And in their home, they receive peace. And they receive honor. So the parents benefit. The third thing that we see in Ephesians chapter 6 is that the child benefits. We are told there that it will be well with you. It's the first commandment with a promise. And way back in the ancient texts of the book of Exodus, where the Ten Commandments were first given, the first four commandments of God talk about our relationship with Him, and none of them are accompanied by a promise. But number five, the fifth commandment, is accompanied by a promise. That's why in Ephesians it's mentioned that's the first commandment with a promise. It's interesting that there's an enticement of an attached promise when it comes to children. When God is talking to children about their relationship with their parents, He throws in an enticement. He says, hey kids, I know that you're not as mature as adults. I know that you don't see life the way that they see it. So in order to entice you, in order to reward good behavior, I'm going to throw in a promise that it will be well with you. No other of the Ten Commandments is there given an enticement of a promise attached, except for this one. Perhaps God knows that children who are not as mature as adults need an enticement of a reward. So God throws one in. And He says there that it may be well with you. Now, this is a principle, not a promise. But it's telling the child, if you understand obedience to your parents in both actions and attitude, God is going to smooth the road for you. Now, as I been studying this over the years, I've come to realize that this promise is not just some fairy dust that God sprinkles onto your life when you turn 18. It's not as if God sees, okay, Phil has been really obedient to his parents in those rough teenage years, 13 to 18, so now he's turning 18, and I'm going to just open up heaven, and I'm going to pour all these blessings onto his life so that he can have a good life for the rest of his days. That's not what he's talking about here. I've come to discover that what God is talking about here is a principle. And it's a principle that I call the authority principle. And it goes like this. As at home, so in the adult world. That if a child will learn to submit to the authority that's over them while they're young and in the home, then when they leave the home, they will understand what it means to submit to authority. And therefore, when they leave the home, they will continue to submit to the authority of God. They will submit to the authority of their teachers. They will submit to the authority of their coaches and to civil government and to their bosses in the workplace and to their spouses when they get married. And if a child understands the principle of submitting to authority, their life will be much better than those who live a life rebelling against such authority. Does that make sense? So God is not promising some fairy magic dust to sprinkle over your life so that for the rest of your days, everything will be fine. That's not what He's talking about here. He's talking about if you as a child learn in both actions and attitudes to to submit to the authority in your house, your mom and your dad, then you're going to understand how to submit to the authority of your teachers at school, your coaches. You're going to learn how to submit to the authority of the police officer when he pulls you over. You're going to know how to submit to the authority of your boss when you turn 16 and you go to work. You're going to know how to submit to the authority of your new landlord. And if you learn how to submit to the authority, ultimately to the authority of God, life will be much better than those who rebel against the authority that God has put in their life. Is that true? And so God is giving here a principle to children. Hey, if you want it to be well with you, learn from an early age that all of us have authorities over our life, and we can go through life either pushing against that authority or submitting to it. And God says he's established those authorities to give you the best life possible. So learn. So one of the most important truths mom and dad can teach their children, or mom, grandma and grandpa can teach their grandchildren, is to listen and obey mom and dad with a good attitude. Because you are paving the way for their adult life. If you allow your children to usurp your authority in the home, or you allow your children to usurp the authority at school, you are paving the way for them as they go into the adult world to usurp the authorities of the culture, and you are sending them down a dangerous road. Kids, if you're here today and you're still dependent upon your mom or dad, and you are shaking your fist in their face, or you're sneaking out of the house at night, or you're going around their back to do what you know they don't want you to do, you are setting yourself up for a very difficult life. Because how you respond to your parents is most likely how you're going to respond to God's authority, and how you're going to respond to your coach's authority, and how you're going to respond to your boss's authority, and how you're going to respond to the civil authorities. And you're going to have a life filled with difficulty and trouble because you never learned how to obey mom and dad in the home. God is offering to you as a child a better life if you'll learn how to obey mom and dad in the right actions and with the right attitudes. He says, learn that lesson early, and it will pave the way to a better life for you. So the child benefits. And then lastly, and most interestingly, civilization benefits. Civilization benefits. In the Ephesians verse there, we are told the promise is twofold, that it may be well with you, and that you may dwell long on the earth. Now, if we go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus, we find the foundation for this promise. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 is the reading of the Ten Commandments. And you'll notice in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, the promise is not a long life on the earth, but that a prolonged life in the land. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Let me explain this. In the ancient world, there was a contract called the suzerain vassal contract. Turn to your neighbor and say, oh, I know all about the suzerain vassal contract. Suzerain means king. Okay, vassal means servant or the one who lives on the land. So you had a king that owned a lot of land, and he allowed people to come and live on the land, on his land. And before he allowed them to come and live on the land, he would write a contract. And in the ancient world, this contract was called a suzerain vassal contract. And this is the model that God used. Let me explain it quickly. The king had a right to put stipulations on the contract. He would say, this is my land. I'm going to give it to your family or a portion of it, and you can stay on this land for all of the generations of your family if you listen and follow these stipulations. If you don't follow these stipulations, I as the king have the right to come back in and remove you from the land until you have a descendant who will get back within the confines of the stipulations, and then they can come back to the land because I'm going to set it aside for you. Now the stipulations, usually there was eight of them. One of them was you had to trust the king to be a good leader. Number two, you couldn't make an allegiance with any other foreign nations. If you lived on the king's land, you couldn't go around his back and sign an allegiance with a foreign nation. You had to be true to your king. And then third of all, another one of the eight was that you had to go once a year and give the king a gift. And so when God came to Abraham and said, I'm going to give you, the nation of Israel, a plot of dirt. I'm going to give to you the promised land. Exodus chapter 20, chapter 21, chapter 22, and chapter 23 is the contract that God made with Israel about when they go into the promised land. It is the suzerain vassal contract. If you want to read something really interesting, read Exodus 20 to 23. That's the contract that God makes with them for the dirt. I'm going to give you this dirt, but if you disobey me, if you rebel against me, if you make an allegiance with other gods, I'm going to kick you off the land until a generation rises up that is worthy to come back on the land. And it's the first chapter of this contract where the Ten Commandments are given. And the fifth of the Ten Commandments is, children, obey your parents so that you will have a prolonged life on the land. If we go to chapter 21 and verse 15 of Exodus, we're in the midst of this contract. Look at verse 15 of chapter 21. He who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to what? Death. Kill him. Well, that seems kind of harsh. Verse 17, he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to what? I wonder how many of us would have survived growing up. But here's the idea. Children are society's next generation. And if parents allow their children of the next generation to not submit to authority, then that generation is going to grow up to be a rebellious generation. And they're going to despise the authority of God. And they're going to get kicked off the land. So parents, don't raise children that don't obey. And if your children doesn't obey and they're like a rebel, they strike and abuse their parents, you got to kill them because they're going... right? You got... What? Did I say that right? Did I not? You just gotta kill him. Yeah. Boy, how much we wish this was an intruder today, right? Ruth and I really had 9 kids. We got 4 that survived. Yes. But here's the point, and we're out of time. Here's the point. If the people in the ancient world raised up a rebellious generation, God was saying, if they rebel against me in the suzerain vassal contract, I'm kicking them off the land. So don't raise a rebellious generation. Which tells us that how you raise your children and how children are obedient to their parents impacts society as a whole. God makes a connection between that little one in a home who grows up and enters adult society and impacts the quality of society as a whole. And so, if my generation allows the next generation to not submit to the authority of mom and dad, I am contributing and my child grows up to contribute to the downfall of society. Your children, my children, are America's next generation. And the quality of America in the future is dependent upon the quality of the children I send into the world. And if children leave the house shaking their fists at the authority that God has put over them in the home, they're going to also shake their fists at the authority that God has placed over them in society. And I think we can look over the past 40 or 50 years of our culture and see the impact of a generation that has grown up not having to submit to the authority of mom and dad. When we take spanking out, when we take discipline out, when we take God out of schools, we are removing the authority of the parents to raise their children, and it's going to have, and it's beginning to have, an impact on our culture. Why? Because children obeying has always been looked at as the next generation of society. And so in the ancient world, if you raised good, obedient children, not only does the Lord benefit, not only do the parents benefit, not only does the child benefit, but the civilization benefits as well. And so this is a big deal to God, how you, as a dependent son or daughter of your parents, respect and honor and obey them, is not only going to pave the way for a good life for you, you are going to help make America a better place. Because you are the next generation of us, and you are going to dictate the quality of the next generation of our culture, and it starts now in the home where you live. Does that make sense? So this is a big deal to God, isn't it? It's a big deal. And it's always been a big deal. It was part of the suzerain vassal contract. Let me encourage you, mom and dad, go home today and say, hey, you know, when your kid says, why do I have to do what you want me to do? You just say, because I'm the suzerain and you're the vassal, okay? I'm the king and you're the occupant here. But that's what allowed the nation of Israel to stay on the land. Isn't this good stuff? It's good stuff and it's so practical for us. And Paul says, you know what? This is where it starts. Starts with wives knowing what role to play. It starts with husbands not knowing what role to play. And it starts with kids, okay, knowing what role to play in your house. So parents, don't kill them, just warn them, okay, and let God do the rest. Let's stand together, grab the neighbor's hand next to you. We're out of time. Let's close our time in prayer. Lord, I wish we had a month to talk about this principle because it is so important that children today understand the value of obeying mom and dad. Obeying in actions and honoring in attitudes. First and foremost, it pleases you. It makes you very happy. And that should be a great motive to any kid here today. That just as wives want to make God happy and husbands, so Lord, the kids here in this room should really want to make you happy because of what you've done for them. And Lord, help them to know that obedience brings peace and honor to mom and dad. And mom and dad really deserve peace and honor. And Lord, help them to know that God has enticed them with a promise that the road of their adult life will be smoother. It will be well with them if they learn this authority principle early. And then, Lord, they are the next generation of our society. And the better citizen they are, the better our society will be. And although they are just one person, they have a big impact on the next generation of our society. So I pray for the kids here today that they would humble themselves just as parents do to each other. And they will humble themselves before you, and they will listen and obey and honor their parents. For this is right, and it pleases you. Thanks for bringing us here together today. Be keep us safe, and bring us back again next week. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Thanks for coming. Have a great day today.